You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pick up 40 chicken McNuggets and tangy Cajun sauce at Macca's drive-thru today.
Welcome to the Macca's Run.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Macca's Run. It's great to have your company on this Monday night. Brett Phillips in the chair and very happy to take your calls over the next half hour as we wrap up the day in sport. 1300 736 736. That is on the Harcourts open line for all things real estate. You can speak to our good friends at Harcourts. Your move, your Harcourts, or jump on the temper text tonight, 0433 98 11 16. Consumer choice winner, temper mattresses, pillows and adjustable bases conforming to the exact shape of your body. Plenty of news around today, as we always do on the Macca's Run. We just recap some of the major headlines. Anything that you want to talk about and put on the agenda, you can certainly do that. We'll talk some tennis as we do from 8 o'clock through to 10 o'clock tonight. Plenty happening. I've got to say, it's been a blurry night watching the Aussies in all sorts of time zones, but a few Aussie champions to salute. And then the sporting cap after 10 o'clock tonight. And I just heard Jared and Sam on Sports Day talk about the top sporting documentaries. And in amongst watching all the tennis on the weekend, I have been absolutely glued to Full Swing. I think it's become almost my favourite. Now, obviously, tennis put out their own documentary at the start of this year in Breakpoint, Drive to Survive, another new series. Everyone has raved about that, and I'm certainly in that corner as well. But Full Swing, I think, for me, almost takes the cake for the best sporting documentary that I've watched. And I haven't even completed it yet, but I think there's 8 episodes. I'm up to about episode 5. If you've taken a look at it on the weekend, I'd love your thoughts. 1300 736 736 or on the text 0433 98 11 16. It is an absolute beauty. And many years ago, a good friend of mine was, in fact, the nanny for Robert Allenby, going way back, who actually experienced, couldn't actually tell any stories on air or share the behind the scenes, but somehow got this gig over in the US. All, as you've seen with the documentary, all the golfers live in sort of that Florida area, that gated community, Jupiter, and it is just a surreal sort of world. You know, the tough part of not making the cut and then flying home, tail between your legs, having to then, you know, regroup and the pressures of that, the pressures on family life. And she told some incredible stories. And yeah, brilliant to watch that actually unfold over the weekend. I sort of knew some of it, and then you just learn so much watching those sporting documentaries. 1300 736 736. Would love to take your calls, and we'll get to those in just a tick. And also the temper text 0433 98 11 16. The major news of the day, Australia winning the Women's T20 World Cup overnight, making it a record-breaking sixth time that they've won the trophy and their third in succession. Beth Mooney named player of the match after an unbeaten innings of 74 to help the Aussies to a 19-run victory. Jess Johannesson, of course, played in her 100th T20 international match and also took a wicket. Did speak, of course, to Jared Waitley earlier today. It was a good chat off the top of the show, and we might have a listen to, of course, young Jess after a terrific night for Australia.
This team's incredible, and what we've been able to achieve has been nothing short of amazing. And to be able to, I guess, to have people talking about this team in that way, particularly being a team that's involved in women's sport, quite often, particularly in the past, that it was only ever male-dominated teams or male sporting teams that were spoken about in that light. But what this team's been able to achieve has been nothing short of amazing, regardless of the gender. So, and I mean, to be a pretty heavy part of that, that been fortunate enough to be part of this team for about 11 years now, that what we've been able to achieve has been pretty incredible. That, yeah, it's sort of, I think, as the dust settles, it sort of will sink in a lot more. But, yeah, there's still well and truly a lot more left in me personally, and I think a large number of this group as well. So when I finish up playing, it'll be pretty remarkable to see what this team could achieve by then.
And ironically, I'm just looking at the corner of my eye and the replays are coming on Fox Sports. So I'll just watch that for the next few hours while I'm in the host chair here. Terrific performance. They have been magnificent, Australia. Our women's cricket is on the world stage, and as we know, women's sport, they're getting paid more their dues now than ever before, and absolutely well-deserved. So that was the big story cricket-wise from overnight. Maybe they can inspire our men to somehow get back into this series against India, the third test coming up this week, and Australia trying to salvage something out of what has been a train wreck of a tour to the subcontinent. Richmond small forward, that's the news. I've just been talking to a good Richmond friend of mine on the way to the studios tonight, who had probably a little bit of a love-hate relationship with Jason Castagna, who's announced his retirement at just the age of 26. He played in all three of Richmond's flags, of course, 17, 19 and 20. Drafted as a rookie back in 2014, informed his teammates earlier today, saying that he'd lost his love for the game. And I think any time we hear that, and you'll hear a bit of this in the first serve a little bit later on, just the pressures of playing at that elite level, that it all looks fantastic and the paycheck, yes, is pretty good when you reach the top and playing as part of a successful team. You certainly get paid your worth, and it's not all roses. It's not all beautiful. It's the behind the scenes that we don't see. It's the injuries. It's, you know, the big pre-seasons. It's the dedication to the sport, and for some it lasts longer in any sport, and some have totally burnt out at the age of their mid-20s, and you know they're going back having played, you know, junior footy, you know, picking up a footy so young. And look, there's no doubt, if we're hand on heart, Castagna was probably going to struggle to get a regular game in the Richmond lineup, just with what's come in this year, what's evolved of their younger players over the last couple of years. And hadn't been the first pick, but he's a three-time premiership player. That'll be on his CV forever. Whether there's the desire to play the game at local level or at a lower level, we'll have to certainly wait and see. But his AFL days at Richmond certainly done, and it looks like his love for the top flight of the game is certainly done. Sam Edmund, of course, reporting on sen.com.au earlier today. Jack Henry staring down the barrel of another long stint on the sidelines. Scans revealing the defender has a fractured metatarsal. He landed awkwardly in Thursday's practice match against the Hawks down there at GMHBA Stadium, suffering the latest in a string of foot injuries. SEN understands that Henry has suffered a break to the fifth metatarsal bone. So the bone connecting the ankle to the little toe, which is considered the most problematic. Of course, going down to, his brother, Ollie, of course, joining Jack at the Cats this year, and he certainly showed some very good signs that he's going to be a nice acquisition in the forward 50 for the Cats. But Jack Henry's been an absolute star down back the last couple of years. So not the sort of news that you want to have. And Chris Scott was on with Jared Waitley to talk about that and a few other things earlier today, but certainly on Jack Henry's injury.
It's a little uncertain at the moment, so I always try to kind of reserve or try not to sort of predict how these things are going to go, but it's clearly complicated enough to be a problem, just how bad it is. You know, I think we'll know a little bit more in the next 48 hours, and our club's really forthright with these things once we know. Well, we tend to be a bit guarded when there is sort of a range of possibilities, but he's clearly not playing in the next couple of weeks. I think I've tried to say we shouldn't read the tea leaves, but yeah, if you can detect a tone in my voice, I'm not that positive.
So that was Chris Scott, as always, frank and forthright. He'll be on with Jared throughout the year, the reigning premiership coach trying to go back-to-back. So an early injury, but also the news out of the Cats on the weekend that they confirmed Patrick Dangerfield's appointment as the captain to replace Joel Selwyn. And Chris Scott spoke to Jared on Dangerfield's appointment and the Cats leadership group for 2023.
It was a relatively long process, to get to a pretty logical conclusion, in my opinion. But it was important for us to work through that process. And having said that, it wasn't a really structured process. I think there is a bit of a school of thought out there that, you know, a lot of these decisions are contingent on a player vote. That's not the way we work. Even if you think through it logically, a third of our list is very, very new. And they're sort of at the stage where they don't know what they don't know. So, an equal vote from a first-year player to a 10-year veteran doesn't make much sense. But the important part for us was that we did make it a whole-of-club thing, because really the role of the captain has evolved over the years. And while you'd love your captain to be on-field sort of leader, the kind of follow-me type guy, the reality is there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done sort of off-field, and there's some public-facing stuff. And it gave us a chance to actually reassess sort of what we wanted from that group of people. And it became clear to us that we didn't think that a leadership group of six players, for example, was representative of who we are at the moment. And we certainly didn't have that model last year. But the club was really clear that we did want a simple sort of official leadership structure, if you like, which was one captain and one vice-captain. And once we were clear on sort of what we wanted from those roles, then it was a process, I think, of going to, all the key people and just sort of having, a mature discussion around it. And in the end, we got to a unanimous spot. But it probably wasn't the structured process that some leadership consultants would have you go through.
There you go. The insights from Chris Scott as to how Geelong have come to the call of making Patrick Dangerfield the captain. Of course, Brenton Sanderson was on earlier today on Breakfast talking about appointing a much younger Patrick Dangerfield as co-captain at Adelaide going back, a decade ago now. So always had leadership from a very young age written all over him, and appeared to be the obvious successor. But obviously a very experienced Cats leadership group who are going to be right there in the trenches with Patrick Dangerfield. Nick's out in Essendon. Nick, welcome to the Maccas Run.
Thanks, Brett. How you going, mate?
Going well, thank you. You've taken in full swing, I believe, on the weekend.
Yeah, just wanted to give my two cents on the documentary. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was great to see players that we don't get to see very much that have come through the ranks. But the one thing I didn't really like about it was the disdain they gave to players that have taken on the league tournament this year. They're elite golfers. PGA have obviously taken a side and said to the Netflix documentary that they want the documentary solely focused on PGA and the good aspects of it. This brings a whole new competitive side to it, and it opens up the possibility for players to play in different countries like Australia.
Yeah, it's interesting. The whole live thing, I mean, it sort of came at the right time for that documentary to be released, because it added the extra layer. And you can understand when, they're going through and obviously some of the players are key characters of it in telling their story. You can sort of part understand why some of these players have made the call to go across to live, because you're guaranteed a paycheck. You don't make the cut, you don't get paid. It's as simple as that, which is fascinating with golf. And just off the back of your call, Nick, I think it needed to be sort of included just to tell the big picture, because this has been the biggest disruption to golf that we have seen forever, really. And this one off the text. The episodes are full swing, featuring players from unusual backgrounds. Tony Finau from living in Utah. I love that story. I mean, huge family, and trying to make the call of, is it a good thing to have them on the road? And he loves his family, loves his kids, his young boy, a prospective junior. He couldn't be there. He's overplaying the British Open. The price you pay being an elite sports person, going away from your family. The Matthew Fitzpatrick, I can hand on heart say I had a tear in the eye last night watching that. Winning in America, he was a US Open amateur. So on that same course, he comes back to win the US Open years down the track. and he hadn't won on the US PGA Tour. Love that story. That was brilliant. And the world number 70, whose mum had passed away. Yeah, that was Joel Damon, I think ranked about 75 in the world. And, you know, quite a bit off the pace, but an exceptional talent. When I think about that and how I relate that to tennis, there are so many in that bracket who are ranked between 50 and 100 who could beat any of these players, who could win a major, but they just don't necessarily dot all the I's and cross all the T's. They play for a different reason. They're maybe not as fit. They're maybe not as driven, but you know, there's obviously different levels of being driven as an elite athlete. So I think it had so many great layers to it, and I recommend it. If you haven't seen it, park yourself in front of Netflix this week and take in all the episodes. We'll get a break away. We've got a bit more news to get through. You can join us, of course, at 1-300-736-736. That is on the Harcourts open line. Your move, your Harcourts. Or jump on the temper text, 0433-98-1116.
Pick up 40 chicken McNuggets and tangy Cajun sauce at Macca's drive-thru today.
Welcome to the Macca's Run.
Indeed, Monday night version of the Macca's Run. Brett Phillips in the chair. Bit of tennis after 8 o'clock with the first serve, always a staple part of the SEN Radio Network every Monday night. Sporting Capital after 10 o'clock. Always happy to hear from you on the Harcourts open line, 1300 736 736. Or you can jump on the temper text, 0433 98 11 16. Plenty of news around. We're starting to get closer to the AFL season. Did you take in some of the match simulation across the last few days? I took in a fair bit, and it was good that they were all streamed live, which was terrific to just get, you know, certainly a handle on the new recruits and different jumper numbers, and always a good chance to just be in that optimistic frame of mind, isn't it? It was always, as a person that supported a struggling club, this was the best time of the year because there was no official scoreboard. You could just try and paint a really positive picture, and it might have taken one belting to change the narrative. Although I never thought when Fitzroy copped a belting in a pre-season game that it was all over. If it was round one, round two, then you started to feel, okay, this is a season that might be going a little pear-shaped. Some news out of the Bombers. Dyson Heppel's preparation for the new season has hit a bit of a road bump after it emerged he suffered a foot sprain in, of course, the Bombers' practice match against the Gold Coast, which was played last Thursday. He'll be moved to a modified training program and will be required to wear a moon boot. So we know Dyson's had his injury trails across the journey. Doesn't have to wear the skipper's band this year, but still going to be a pivotal leader. But Essendon certainly in trying to play a better brand of footy, a more sustained, tougher brand of football, need all their leaders out there. So, but it is the nature, isn't it? You know, I was listening to Frank Panisi on earlier from the Melbourne Storm, who do an incredible job just to replace players, whether they're injured, players who have left the club, they keep replenishing, they develop from underneath. And that's what, I mean, all the AFL clubs are obviously always doing that, extending the depth, making sure you're ready to play when it's your opportunity. This news was a bit of concern out of the Tigers, not away from the playing field on the weekend. I'm sure you've got across it. Noah Bolter had allegedly punched in the mouth at a local soccer game on the weekend. A fight broke out at a game in Altona North. I think it was the International Cup, this tournament, which is an annual event. And it was a heap of spectators that ran on the ground. And he was unfortunately just at the wrong place at the wrong time. He was struck in the mouth, but not seriously injured. He was helping coach the team. He's been cleared of any wrongdoing by the Tigers. So just a little unfortunate. Ben's in Malvern. Ben, welcome to the Macca's Run.
G'day, mate. I'm just calling in spite of my frustrations for the Bombers. I thought watching the practice match on whenever it was against Gold Coast, I was excited, you know, new captain, new coach. I really thought I was going to say something different, but honestly, like, the game plan and the ball movement was just putrid, and I was left pretty shocked and disgusted after the game.
Yeah, I was listening to Bucks, you know, talking this morning about, you know, the scoreboard, and I mean, when you're a team that's missed the finals, you actually want that scoreboard to look you know, you want it to look positive. You'll take any win, you know, in the early part of the year. So you're not seeing anything, Ben, that can suggest Essendon can get out of being a mediocre, sort of that middle-of-the-range side.
Well, so it is the first game of the preseason, so I can give a little bit of leeway. But if we're just talking purely on the matter of Essendon and how far I think we can go this year, I really don't think finals, it's going to be finals bound. Like, unless something changes in the next preseason match, unless that was just more the players reverting back to the old game style, more than whatever Brad Scott has to offer. Maybe my opinion will change, but right now it's not looking great.
All right, let's sit tight on that, Ben. Come on, round one hasn't even been played yet. Optimism. I do understand what you're saying. First serve is coming up.